The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
Hi, this is Kevin Kessinger, former Ole Miss baseball player, son of Ole Miss Hall of Famer Don Kessinger, and dad to Ole Miss All-American shortstop Gray Kessinger, and your local community banker with BNA Bank. BNA Bank has invested 125 years in our communities, and we know the needs of North Mississippi businesses better than anyone. As a commercial lender with BNA Bank, my priority is Oxford, and I'd love to help you and your business with any lending needs.
Visit www.bnabank.com to learn more. BNA Bank, local, invested, modern banking. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Let's play some football!
Run right through the back of him. Run right through the middle and out the back.
What's known in football terms as a slam dunk.
Baby, you're a firework. Come on, show them why you work. Make them go, as you shoot across the sky.
Hey, hey, what up? Welcome back to another edition of Daytime Fireworks. I'm your host, Zach Berry, here with an esteemed guest. We have been trying to get this one on the books, but look, we were talking about it before we hit the record button. We are both fathers of two and both work in the world of sports, so it is hard to get time to discuss things. It's hard to find time for yourself, but... self-proclaimed purveyor of fine audio at Learfield and probably one of the busier podcasters in the world, Stephen Hartzell. How we doing, my man?
Hey, Zach. Good to be with you. Yeah, I don't think I'm one of the busier podcasters in the world, but we do like to have fun. So thank you for having me on, my man.
Yeah. So let's get to this first. You were just here in Nashville. For the SEC basketball tournament, you did the marathon. You did everything, start to finish, right?
13 games over 5 days. Yes, sir.
Truly, the embodiment of it just means more.
Hey, in 2 years, it'll be 15 games over 5 days. So there's that.
Oh God, did you go to the other location SEC tournaments?
I have been to SEC basketball tournaments in St. Louis and Tampa. And before I never got to do one at the Dome. I never got to do one in New Orleans. But before I did the SEC men, we do the women's tournaments. And so I did the SEC women in Duluth. I did the SEC women in Greenville. And 1 year I did the SEC women in North Little Rock, Arkansas. And there was an ice storm. And it was a thing, but yeah, the SEC has kind of taken me all over the place. I did the SEC soccer championship in Orange Beach. It has since been moved to Pensacola. I've done baseball in Hoover. Really the only thing I haven't done at this point is softball.
Okay. So you were truly a man about town and of many talents.
I mean, I wish we could have gotten around your town a little more. Like, we were locked in. We stayed at the Omni, which is an awesome hotel. There's tons of stuff to do like inside the hotel, but yeah, between there and Bridgestone, which is, you know, a block away, we did not explore. Like there was no time to like hop in a car and explore. I got tons of recs from you and a bunch of other Nashville folks. That will have to wait until this summer when we're there for media days. So, at least then we'll have a car and we'll have a little bit more free time, but yeah, it was a grind, a lot of hoops, but, you know, it beats, I mean, it's a fun job. I'm not gonna lie. It's pretty cool. So
yeah, can't complain too much. So I guess real quick, out of all the different men's basketball tournament locations, is Nashville ideally the best?
Dude, Nashville is pretty cool. I mean, I am a big music guy. I'm not a huge country music guy. My friends who I make the trip with, other guys that work with me here at Learfield, you know, like to give me a hard time because, you know, they blast country music on the PA and I don't know any of those songs. I know Garth Brooks's like greatest hits, but I don't know Alan Jackson. I don't know. I mean, I don't even want to say country artists that I've heard of because people may laugh and be like, that's not even a country artist. So I'm not a Nashville guy, but that place is fun and people are walking around with drinks and everybody's having a good time. And I think it's drivable for most of the fan bases, except for like Missouri and A&M. But even when we were in St. Louis a couple years ago, like Missouri and A&M fans didn't show up to that either. So like, that's just, they're just kind of built different. And I think it's a great town. I would like to go back with my family and like spend some time and actually imbibe and have a good time.
Mm-hmm.
Cause we don't really get to do any of that when we're there. We're just, it's just a lot. There's four basketball games in a day and there's two of those days. It's a lot. Yeah.
Those are long.
Cool town. We do drive. We make the drive from Winston-Salem where we're located. So that's a nice little 7-hour trek up and over the mountains.
I meant to ask, why is that just a budget decision?
Partially budget, but also like we have these giant, we brought our own gear. I mean, we have two giant Pelican cases full of radio gear and, you know, it's like $10,000 worth of radio equipment and each Pelican case weighs like 100 pounds and it's just safer. So we rented a minivan and we made the drive and your boy drove both ways. I don't know what my guy, I would have liked for somebody else to have volunteered, but that wasn't in the cards. We did stop at that new Buc-ee's though, between Nashville and Knoxville.
Is it the one Crossville?
It's off 40. Yes, sir.
Yeah. It's the biggest one. And then now Texas is building one that's bigger.
Well, I had been to a Buc-ee's before, but my travel companions had not. And for as much shit as, am I allowed to cuss on the show? Sorry, Zach.
Yeah.
Okay. For as much grief as they gave me when we stopped on the way there, on the way back, they were like, hey, so, we're going to stop at that Buc-ee's on the way back. And I was like, yeah, obviously.
Yeah.
So we got to cross that off the list.
It's a, it's an experience. I was not familiar with it until recently. It would pop up here and there. I travel to Atlanta quite a bit for work, and that one in
greatest city in the world, Zach. Greatest city in the world.
I believe it's Calhoun.
I'm sorry.
I think that's where it is. Yeah, I stop at that one a lot. Yeah, I mean the food is great, and then I mean you can literally find anything. My last trip through there, I was in dire need of some pain relief. You need to get some liquid gels and some kind of cough medicine and then just a huge thing of water because I was not well on the way back from a camp down there, Under Armour put on. But yeah, it's great. Dude, you can literally get any kind of food you want there. I'm partial to the brisket or the club sandwich, but pretty much anything they have is good there.
My buddy hit up the beef jerky and he
also good.
He's just staring at the, you know, like the flavor wall. And he's like, it's too much. Like it's just, there's like 30 flavors of beef jerky. Like it's not an exaggeration. It's out of control. It's like quintessential America. Like it's just excess.
Yep.
It's just
exactly.
Row after row of just stuff that like, you don't need any of it. You just want a water or, you know, in your case, some, you know, some Advil. But like, yeah, it's intense. It's overwhelming. I will say this though, like as a family guy, I just want a clean bathroom. Like I want to be able to, dude, like you're still tremendous. You're still in the diaper changing stage with yours. Like yeah. It, you know, you need a place to be able to go when you're on the highway and not fear for your life or, yeah. or worry about catching like, you know, SARS. So Buc-ee's has very clean bathrooms. Like that's not an exact, like it's a real thing. They are super clean. And I mean, the only other place that is consistently clean when it comes to bathrooms on the road, I used to be a big Quick Trip guy. Not the case anymore. Standards have fallen. Loves truck stops, or I guess travel centers, whatever they're called. Loves.
Yeah.
Usually there's like a McDonald's or an Arby's or a Subway that's like attached to them. I have found that those bathrooms tend to be pretty reliable, but yeah, it's tough on the road, man. It's tough.
Last thing before we get to hoops, have you ever traveled via automobile in the Indiana, Ohio area?
Serber and I, Michael Serber, who does CSN with and Hand in the Dirt with me, we drove up to Indy for the national championship game 2 years ago. That's the only time I have spent in Indiana, and I have driven to Columbus once, but okay. That's it. I mean, not extensively.
The like souped up truck stop mini mall thing that they do is phenomenal. It's almost like it's not as big as a Buc-ee's in terms of gas pumps, like gas pump volume, but they have literally a little bit for everybody. They've got, you know, pumps for truckers. They've got regular pumps, and then they have these little mini malls. I've seen them up in like upstate New York too, where you go in and it's got, you know, Starbucks, Burger King, Chick-fil-A.
Yeah, it's like a food court. Yeah,
basically. Yeah, but
they have these up and down the Northeast. Yeah, like I used to live in Maryland, and they have these things. They're called like Maryland House. It's like a travel stop, and they put it in between the lanes or in between the directions. So like I-95 North and I-95 South, they build it in between so that both places can turn off. And yeah, you got a food court, grocery store, you know, bathrooms. It's not a terrible idea, you know, like instead of having to pull off the highway and go right or left, you know, like they had the wherewithal when they were building the interstate to be like, we're going to put it in the middle. You know what I'm saying? So both people can get at it. That's kind of, I respect that. That's a good thought. It's a good thought.
Yeah. Logistical infrastructure is fascinating to me. I love it.
It's real. You don't realize it until it's not there. So,
right. Yeah. All right, so let's get into basketball. By now, unless you're, you know, under a rock or maybe just coming out of a coma, you know that Ole Miss made the tough decision to make a big hire on Monday. They hired former Texas coach Chris Beard to be the 23rd head basketball coach, successor to Kermit Davis. They did the introductory press conference and everything on Tuesday. It was, to me, probably, if you're an Ole Miss fan, I think it's easily the biggest hire in, I guess, this lifetime. The Lane Kiffin hire was pretty monumental. And, you know, at the time, nobody knew how big of a hire Mike Bianco was. But now people understand it. But this one seems to be a big one. Now there's some caveats, there's some asterisks, there's some fine print, but as a basketball coach, as someone who interacts with some of the biggest names in college basketball, you know, Matt Norlander, Gary Parrish, you know, Jerry Palm, some of those guys that eat, sleep and breathe college hoops, you know, talking with them and then you yourself, how do you, I think it's an easy A-plus grade hire, but how do you see him fitting into the SEC and fitting in this Ole Miss program that has really been searching for something for a decade?
That's a good question. Obviously, it's a loaded question because Chris Beard was arrested for felony domestic violence charges a couple months ago. So on the court, there's two sides to this, right? There's the on-the-court stuff. The guy is an exceptional basketball coach. Like, you know, his moral compass clearly is not centered. I mean, like, that's the nicest way to put it. I mean, that cops don't come to your house for something like this unless you've messed up. And, you know, that clearly is an issue. It was not enough of an issue for Ole Miss to make this move. Okay. So you could say, well, is it on brand for Ole Miss? Is it on brand for the SEC to do this, to put winning above all? I mean, there is certainly an argument to be made for that. I mean, this is a league that, you know, money is not an option for Ole Miss or any of these schools that are fortunate enough to be in the SEC. And they can clearly afford it. And on the court, like, this guy took a Texas Tech program to the national championship game. I've never been to Lubbock, Texas, Zach. I don't know if you have.
I have not.
Okay. Well, West Texas is the middle of nowhere. And yep, they have built and invested in their basketball infrastructure since Chris Beard left. It's some of the best facilities in the country. It can't be stated enough how good of a basketball coach Chris Beard is. Now, will that translate to Oxford, Mississippi? You know, the SEC, I think, has 8 NCAA tournament teams, although we're recording this the day after Mississippi State got knocked out in the first 4, but tied for the Big Ten for the most tournament teams of any major, of any conference. I mean, mm-hmm, there's only 68 teams that make the field. The SEC put 8 of them in there. This is a league that's quietly, I know people like to, like, I do a show with Norlander from CBS, and he is a basketball snob, and he is well-connected in the industry. And he repeatedly, you know, kind of like throws shade on the SEC as a league because, you know, it's like, how much do people care, really? It's the SEC. Yeah. And he's not wrong. Like, Kentucky cares a lot. There are pockets of fan bases that care a lot. Auburn cares a lot when it's a home game. Did they travel to Vanderbilt or travel to Nashville for the SEC tournament? No, not really. Alabama did. They showed out. But they're also in the midst of, like, the best season in program history on the court. So, you know, the coaches in the SEC, you look around, I mean, it's a pretty loaded group of coaches. So I think Chris Beard fits within the league as far as, you know, does he walk in day one and he's the best coach? No, but I mean, you know, you've got Rick Barnes, you've got John Calipari, you've got guys who have been to Final Fours, won national championships, and we'll see what happens this year with a team like Alabama that's the number one overall seed. You know, my grandfather used to tell us when we were kids, we didn't understand stocks or investments or anything like that, but he used to say all the time, buy low, sell high. Like, you cannot possibly buy low, buy any lower than Chris Beard with Ole Miss. I mean, that guy's stock and price, candidly, was probably as low as it was ever going to get. So they made a move. And I didn't see the press conference, but I didn't need to. I mean, it was always going to be awkward. It was always going to be something that was, you know, fodder for people who want to continue to kind of push this notion. And I don't necessarily disagree with it, that winning is above all in the SEC and in a place like Oxford. But I do, it's not a coincidence for me, Zach, that the timing of the press conference coincided with the week of the NCAA tournament. You know, when we were in Nashville, like, it's going to get snowed under with all these basketball games that are set to tip Tuesday through Sunday. So, you know, when I was in Nashville, it was like, is this going to happen? Why hasn't it happened? I mean, Ole Miss was on the court. Like, Win Case, as an interim guy, he was leading his team. I mean, they won a game on Wednesday night. Like, they were playing on – did they win Wednesday night or did they lose to Mississippi State?
They beat South Carolina.
They beat South Carolina. That's it. Yeah. So,
and
I mean,
lost,
like,
to Tennessee.
He won a tournament game. Like, they were still in the tournament when we got to the second round. So, you know, the timing of it was certainly interesting. I do think – you know, when you talk to agents and you talk to the, you know, folks in the industry, a lot of the times this stuff gets floated out there. Auburn did this with Hugh Freeze before they actually made the hire. Yeah. You know, how are people going to react to this? Let's put this out there.
And it's the Greg Schiano strategy.
Sure. And, you know, it was what it was. So the timing of it all, none of this is a coincidence, but I do look at, you know, like, Ole Miss is a basketball program. You know, Andy Kennedy, I pulled this up. I mean, he won 245 games in 12 seasons. He took Ole Miss to the tournament twice. With the exception of him, I mean, you got a lot of coaches who have done, you know, very little in Oxford. And we're going back to like the 70s, man. Rod Barnes took Ole Miss to the tournament three times. Rob Evans took Ole Miss to the tournament twice. Kermit Davis was there once, and it was his first year. So,
yeah.
I mean, the bar for Ole Miss basketball is as low as it as low as possible. I mean, they are a bottom feeder in the SEC. But I've been to the pavilion; it's gorgeous. I mean, it's an awesome facility. They open it up on football games. Like, you can go in there and like cool off and like use the restrooms and like chill out. You know,
yeah. Get you some Raising Cane's in there,
dude. Don't I am all in on Raising Cane's. Haters gonna hate on Raising Cane's, but no slaw, extra toast, Raising Cane's for the win. Love that place. So yeah, long answer to your question, but he is going to win games there. And you know, as far as the vetting process, I'm not clear as to what Ole Miss did or did not do. But my hope is that they had some lawyers or they had somebody on a legal team in Oxford, you know, kind of vet this out, do their own research. Like, let's talk about the incident. Like, what happened? Let's talk to the person who filed the complaint. Like, I would hope that stuff happened. Yeah. As far as like what the tolerance is for future incidents, you know, hopefully there isn't one. But you know, Ole Miss cares about winning basketball games. They went out and they hired, you know, the best available coach on the market. Candidly. You know, like if you're just talking about winning, that's the best guy out there. Billy Donovan's not coming back to college anytime soon. So, you know, you're not going to get what's my guy who's doing Turner games, who used to be at Villanova. Jay Wright. Yeah, he's not leaving Turner Broadcasting to coach at Ole Miss. But Chris Beard, whose reputation has been, you know, sullied and has left Texas as the disgraced former coach of the Longhorns. Guess what? You get to see him in the conference in a little less than 2 years.
Yeah, I think most Ole Miss fans will be honest with you and can admit that Chris Beard was a candidate and is now the head coach at Ole Miss because of what happened. You know, I don't know Chris personally, but I'd like to think that he would either not take the call or might just take the call and just kind of laugh and then hang up if Ole Miss were to try to hire him prior to that happening. He was at his alma mater. You know, that was his dream job. And, you know, what happened, everything that transpired, it was a tough scene and he screwed up. So I think that's the reason, obviously, why Ole Miss was able to land him. But I mean, you can't argue with the resume and what he's done. You know, was 2019 AP Coach of the Year, led them to the national championship game. I mean, they were give or take 30 seconds away from winning that thing before Virginia took it to overtime and eventually won. You know, he's the big number here is he's got more NCAA tournament appearances as a head coach, you know, in the last 10 years that Ole Miss has altogether. And he's taken three different programs there since 2016. You know, he's had three draft picks, two first rounders. He had a lottery pick in Jarrett Culver. The proof is there. There is no doubting what he can do as a head coach. The big question is, how will that translate to a place that, in my opinion, is one of the tougher basketball jobs, not only in the SEC, but in the country. Sure. So we'll get to that. We're going to have a quick break here from the sponsors. When we come back, we'll have more with Stephen Hartzell talking Chris Beard and Ole Miss hoops. So hang tight. We'll be right back.
This podcast is brought to you by Lamar Yard, Oxford's indoor-outdoor restaurant, bar, and entertainment space on South Lamar. They now have an updated menu with non-barbecue options from Tex-Mex to Mississippi Delta catfish to smash burgers. And you can contact Lamar Yard for your private events for the spring and summer. They have a dedicated event coordinator who will help you plan your event from start to finish, and they offer on-site catering. From weddings to Greek parties or corporate events, Lamar Yard is the perfect place to host your next party. Lamar Yard is Oxford's quintessential family and pet-friendly venue, and they look forward to hosting you soon. Check them out at lamaryard.com. And if you want a place for clever dishes and captivating cocktails, look no further than Solal in South Lamar. Chef Erica and her committed team of food and beverage enthusiasts are bringing top-notch cuisine and libations to you 6 days a week. whether it's happy hour 3 to 6, fresh squeeze margaritas, ramen, 2-for-1 Moscow mules, all of that and more. The best and brightest in-house or via curbside pickup. Check them out, solaoxford.com, or call them at 662-238-3500 and place your order today. Show also brought to you by Memphis restaurateur Kelly English and his restaurant group in Memphis, Tennessee. The renowned chef and his team are offering nationwide shipping and virtual cooking classes with Cooking with Kelly. You can learn more about the nationwide shipping at irisetc.com, and you can also book a virtual cooking class online at table22.com/iris. Kelly English Restaurant Group in Memphis, Second Line Restaurant Iris, and the Magnolia House down on the coast in Biloxi. Show is also brought to you by Cherokee Valley Golf Course in Olive Branch, Mississippi. Get on over, see Cody Allen and the rest of the crew take on their challenge of the wide plush Zoysia fairways and large championship Bermuda greens. They've got 2 putting greens to hone in your game with the flat stick, a driving range, and a chipping green to tighten up that short game. Book a tee time online at olivebranchgolf.com or give them a call at 662-893-4444.
And we are back here, Daytime Fireworks. Steven Hartzell of CBS College Sports. Is it college sports or college basketball?
College Sports Now is the podcast, and then that's the CSN. Sports podcast. Yeah, the other show is a silly show about gardening. Really, it's a lifestyle podcast, Hand in the Dirt.
Yeah, Hand in the Dirt. Give it a listen, folks. It's good stuff. all right, so we know about the resume. We know how good of a coach he is, but Ole Miss as a job is a tough one. Talked a lot on our show about the lack of built-in advantages. Location is an issue. Oxford, it's not a tough place to get to, but there's not really a big booming metropolis around it. I mean, Memphis is just up the road, give or take an hour, but it's your big alumni bases for Ole Miss are not really close. So it's hard to get a good, decent home crowd for a Tuesday night SEC game. Sure. He made a lot of comments in the introductory press conference about, you know, hey, the season ticket office is open, get your season tickets now. Like it's going to be tough to get them next season. For someone that's been in venues and has been around the country and seen different home court advantages, and you've been around the SEC, is this something that's realistic for Ole Miss? And not just, I mean, I think Chris Beard's going to win. I would be very shocked if he does not. But in terms of a buy-in from a fan base, that, yeah, you're probably going to have those, you know, the students are going to be there. Students love to have fun, and they like when teams win, and I think Ole Miss will win. But as far as the overall fan base and getting those big crowds in there, how big of a deterrent is, well, I can just sit home and watch it? That's been the big topic with especially college football, and, you know, crowds have kind of shifted. You know, you're not getting the record numbers as much anymore. The big name schools still do, but in terms of basketball, how big of a disadvantage do you think that is for Ole Miss and for Oxford?
I think the fact that there isn't a lot going on in or around Oxford helps fill that place out. Look, the pavilion's not big. I don't even think it holds 10,000 people. So it's perfect. Like, if you win, you're going to be fine. Like, folks show out and fill Coleman Coliseum in Tuscaloosa. They show out and fill the Jungle at Auburn. Like Rupp Arena, like people talk about Rupp, like that place is like, the place holds over 20,000 people. Like Kentucky's different, man. Like don't,
it's
just take
dump,
that.
It's kind of dumpy
aside.
Too.
It's definitely not the KFC Yum Center. Okay. Which I know, like Louisville is, I think they were the worst Power Six team in America this year in terms of like Ken Pom ratings. Like they were abysmal, but they play in an absolute palace and they're hosting an NCAA regional this year. So yeah, look, man, you win 20 games at Ole Miss and you're in the mix. Like we just talked about the SEC, they got 8 teams in the tournament this year. Like you make it to the dance, I think people will show out. You know, the other thing too, man, like basketball is so weird because unlike football, you've got to put together that class, right? Like you've got to get, you know, hey, man, we got 4 or 5 stars coming in. We got, I mean, look at the recruiting grades. Like, we're, you know, man, basketball, you need one dude. Like, you get one dude out of Memphis. You get one dude out of Atlanta. You get one of these high caliber transfers, and you can speak more than I can on like what the NIL scene is in Oxford. But like, if Chris Beard is going there, they have clearly convinced him that they are going to continue to invest, and, you know, emotionally and financially in that basketball program. You only need one guy, you know, it makes a huge difference when you can get, you know, one of the best high school players in America, like Brandon Miller at Alabama. Okay. Before that, Jabari Davis. You can tell I'm a basketball guy. I'm the number one overall pick a year ago. if you can get one of these dudes, then now all of a sudden you've got something that will hook a fan base. So, I mean, Ole Miss is going to continue to schedule cupcakes in November and December. And, you know, that is what it is. But you know, if you can be 500 in the league and you can hang with the likes of Arkansas and Missouri and Tennessee and, you know, kind of that upper echelon, that upper half, that upper third even of the SEC. I mean, hell, Mississippi State made a tournament this year. Like, you don't have to win 30 games to do it. You know, 20 will get you there in this league. Then you'll be fine. So I think Ole Miss has obviously taken some heat, and rightfully so, in the short term. But long-term investment, when we were talking about salary off air, like what this guy's making, I mean, he's making a little more than $3 a year. I mean, that by college basketball coach standards, that's, you know, it's a top 20 salary, but it's not top 10. I mean, this is manageable for a guy who at Texas was one of the top five highest paid coaches in the sport. So yeah, I think he'll be fine. And like anything, man, you win, people will show up.
Yeah. I think Ole Miss is actually a pretty underrated basketball school, basketball fan base, and not just wins and losses, because they're not anywhere near the upper crust of the SEC, but I think they've been clamoring for a winner. I think they want to enjoy basketball. Kermit Davis had some big games, some big, you know, ESPN games. The crowds were good. I think you already talked about the pavilion and how it's a palace. It is a really nice arena. It's probably one of the nicer ones in the conference.
It's perfect.
And look, when they used to play at the Tad Pad, I mean, when I was an undergrad, I mean, it was fun. I mean, they would pack it out for Andy Kennedy. And I think that, like you said, if you win, you know, it's the field of dreams. You know, if you build it, they'll come. Like, if you are a winner, people don't even have to be hardcore basketball fans. They'll just go because it's fun. And I think that's the big thing where, you know, yeah, sure, you're not going to fill out all 9,500 on a Tuesday night for a game against Texas A&M. But those Thursday, those Saturday games, you know, deep into November, December, January, when you're in the running for, you know, hey, what's bracketology looking like right now? Well, you know, Ole Miss is sitting right there like on the 7-8 line. Okay, like, people get excited about that because they haven't been able to be excited about something like that in you know, probably a decade. I mean, 2013 was when Andy Kennedy won the SEC tournament, and they go and they beat 5-seed Wisconsin, and then they're, you know, a fingernail away from beating LaSalle and getting to the Sweet 16. So I think if he can get it done, and I think he will, I think the Ole Miss fans will be fired up. I did do some quick research. It was Jabari Smith at
Auburn.
That's
the guy. That's the guy.
Yeah, so you get someone like him. You mentioned Brandon Miller. And, you know, all due respect to the rest of the roster, they've got some good players, but he is what, you know, drives the ship there. And then you go back even further to a guy that just retired. Jim Boeheim won it all with one guy. Carmelo Anthony did it all. So, it's not football where you've got to have this really good, you know, two deep, a blue chip guys. Basketball, like, if you have a scheme that you can get people to buy into and you have one or two elite NBA caliber players, you can make some noise. All right, so looking at his recruiting, you mentioned it a little bit, and I wanted to touch on this. I did a little bit of a deep dive on what he's done at Texas and Texas Tech, and I was pretty shocked because Texas as a state obviously is large, and there's some good basketball talent there, but he was able to recruit everywhere. Looking at some of his recruiting classes, I mean, he was, you know, one of his best players at Texas Tech was from Italy. And then he's pulled guys from Massachusetts, from Virginia, from California. He's been everywhere. So I'm interested to see if that will continue at Ole Miss. I was able to talk to a top 50 player yesterday in the 24 class that is from Washington, D.C. And he was being recruited by Chris Beard while he was at Texas. And, you know, he was pretty honest with me. And he said, hey, you know, if it's right, like if it's somewhere I think I can fit and if I like what I see, then yeah, they could be a factor. So you're already seeing that return on the investment of those elite caliber players, because I am of the opinion, and I want to get your take on this. Basketball to me is way more X's and O's than Jimmy's and Joe's. Football is all about Jimmy's and Joe's. You look at Georgia and what they've done. I mean, they got 50 dudes on that roster that'll play in the NFL. Alabama's the same way. Ohio State, Michigan. You know, what Lincoln Riley's been able to do in short order in L.A., they just have dudes. I think basketball, you see it every year. We saw it last year with St. Peter's. You've seen it, you know, back in the day with Shaka Smart when he was at VCU. You know, George Mason back in the day. You can get hot and get on a run. And if you have a group that plays like a team, you can upset some guys that have those Jimmies and Joes. So I think it's more X's and O's. But now with the NIL, and it's so much more competitive, and then in the SEC specifically with the buy-in, I mean, you've got football schools now that care about basketball. I mean, you already said the number one overall seed's Alabama. That's a football school. Mm-hmm. They're not a basketball school. Like, they might be a basketball school right now, but all they care about is what Nick Saban's doing. So how do you think that that will translate in the future? Do you think that that will level off, or do you think the SEC will continue with that trajectory of more and more programs caring more about basketball? They're adding Oklahoma and Texas.
Yes.
We know that they've got some history there with basketball, but you see the investment that Ole Miss has made, and, you know, the quote risk that they're taking here. And I do think it is a risk.
Public relations risk. It's not a basketball risk. Like, this is a very safe basketball hire. It's the public relations perception risk that Ole Miss is like, yeah, we're good with this. I think, listen, candidly, you know, to zoom out here, there are going to be increasingly more haves and have-nots in college athletics, okay? And Ole Miss, by virtue of being in the SEC, is a have. USC and UCLA, by virtue of them joining the Big Ten in 2 years, they are haves. It's everybody else that's, you know, that needs to make up for the fact that they are not in the SEC or the Big Ten. So, you know, look at Chris Beard's former employer in Texas Tech. Like, they are, you know, they're not at the bottom of the barrel of the Big 12, but they are pretty close, and they are comfortable in that, in who they are. And they've invested in the programs that they can. Like, I just think, you know, these SEC schools, man, with the exception of like Vanderbilt, which is they are a baseball school. Okay. Like, they're going to have a hard time keeping Jerry Stackhouse in a couple of years. If the Hubert Davis situation continues to trend downward, UNC fans already are like, that's our guy. We're going to go get Stack, and we're going to bring him home, and he's going to be our coach. And you can see the writing on the wall, and that makes plenty of sense right now. Okay. But these schools have so much money that they can make mistakes. They can take chances. They can invest in facilities. They can pay assistant coaches $1.5-2 million a year at the football level. Heck, even at the basketball level, if it gets to that point. I think, you know, you talk about a top 50 recruit coming out of DC. I don't know what the NIL market is for basketball. You know, you hear about what football players are making. You hear about guys like Drew Timmy at Gonzaga, who made almost $1 million this year to stay in school. You hear about Oscar Tshiebwe staying at Kentucky, making like $2-2.5 million this year, just in NIL deals, staying in college because the NBA didn't want them because they weren't lottery picks. I mean, that top 50 recruit in DC is probably, he's testing the waters and trying to figure out from a market standpoint, where can I go rent a school for a year and make six figures, high six figures, for me and my family for the 4 months that I'm playing basketball at this school. I think that and the transfer portal, I mean, you can overhaul your roster, which Chris Beard is going to do overnight. And that is crazy to me because we've seen football coaches do it, like Mel Tucker at Michigan State during the COVID year. Like, it can be done. Dion at Colorado this year. But I mean, you got a football roster. You're talking about 100 guys. Basketball, there's 13 kids on scholarship. That's it. So you can come in and if you've got cash to splash, which I imagine Ole Miss does, then I think you can fix this thing pretty quickly. So, you know, the NIL thing is interesting. I'm in a similar boat, Zach, with like I grew up in Atlanta. I'm a Georgia Tech guy, and we have had a rough go of things athletically the last decade, but especially the last couple of years. It hasn't helped that Georgia has won back-to-back national championships in football.
Yeah.
But like, we just went and got Damon Stoudamire, and and everybody's just thrilled with the notion that, like, okay, not only is this guy going to be able to come in, he looks like Atlanta, he can recruit Atlanta, people are excited, but also, like, we don't have the funds, we don't have the resources that Ole Miss does when it comes to, hey, you know, here's what we can offer in an NIL package, here's what, you know, you have to take calculus every year that you're here because we're an institute of technology,
right.
Like, all of these things that are working against this school.
You see Notre Dame having to deal with that in football.
Yeah, like Ole Miss, like, I mean, academics, question mark. Like, it's not, you know, it's not
Georgia Tech.
Yeah, it's a place where guys go and get degrees, but I think athletes and prospects are looking at a place where they can go, especially the elite ones. Like, you know, Jabari Smith wasn't spending 2 years at Auburn. Like, we all knew what that was. Same with Brandon Miller at Alabama this year. Same with any of these guys that don't go to overtime elite or go play, you know, in Europe for their gap year coming out of high school. So, yeah, I don't know what that looks like in a place like Oxford, but it is interesting because the market we're still in that exploratory phase. I mean, we don't know what the going rate is for a McDonald's All-American. It's different at Villanova or Gonzaga or Kentucky than it is at some of these other schools that may only sign, you know, one McDonald's All-American instead of four. So I think it's interesting, but, you know, it is on brand, you know, like you kind of hit pause a little bit and you zoom out and you're like, this is so on brand for the SEC. Chris Beard is coming to Oxford. It's so on brand for Ole Miss. It makes sense regardless of how you feel about it. It is a fit. And maybe that's something that if I'm Greg Sankey, you know, maybe I have issues with that. I don't know. He didn't seem to bat an eye much with some of the stuff that was going on in Tuscaloosa this year off the court, because he puts faith in his athletic directors and in his local administrators at these schools to handle that stuff. But, you know, Chris Beard's here, and you know he's got to walk the path of good behavior. And we'll see how that goes over the next couple of years.
So last thing before we hit the final break, and then we'll get your thoughts on your bracket. We got to talk about a bracket.
Oh yeah. I got my bracket.
You mentioned the McDonald's All-Americans and being able to recruit at a high level. And it's something that I think is lost on a lot of not only Ole Miss fans, but just college basketball fans in general, because people, you know, turn their nose up or look down their nose or, you know, scoff at Ole Miss basketball. And, it, you know, rightfully so. It's not a household name. You had the Marshall mania a decade ago. And, you know, Ole Miss is, you know, they have a nice arena. And, you know, oh, I think Lane Kiffin coaches football there. So, yeah, we know about Ole Miss. But from a recruiting angle, it's actually surprisingly been a really successful and consistent recruiting program over the last couple of years. Kermit Davis, that was not the issue. He actually signed the first McDonald's All-American in program history. He signed a couple top 50 guys. You know, the issue was the portal and not being able to adapt and change how they went about their business on the court, and it didn't equal to wins. So I am curious to see what Chris Beard can do, because it is a place that has been able to get high level guys that, you know, the Alabamas, the Auburns, the Floridas, you know, these other bigger basketball schools with actual history wanted, and Ole Miss was able to get it done. So now you bring someone in that has signed multiple top 10, top 15 classes. He has a lottery pick on his resume. You know, he coached Zaire Smith at Texas Tech, who was a first round pick. It's a very interesting situation now, because you have, in my opinion, a top five college basketball coach now running your program. And however he got there, that's not relevant at this point. It's all about how can he translate that to wins, and how can he translate that to a winning culture that fans can get behind. And I think the parallel here is when Lane Kiffin was hired. I think most Ole Miss fans were fired up, but in the back of their mind, they were like, okay, we know, give it 2 years, 3 years. He wins big. He'll be out going to his next job. And you have to get fans to realize, like, if that's the case, okay, yeah, you got to go find another coach. But if that is what happens, the program's in a good spot if he's leaving, because it was very clear that he won and he won at a high level and somebody else wanted him. So it's not the worst thing. So same thing with Chris Beard. What kind of window, or what kind of, you know, length of tenure do you think Ole Miss fans are looking at with Chris Beard? Do you think this is a, you know, one and done, or a 2 to 3? Things obviously change. I mean, Kiffin's now entering year five. He's never done that at a job. But as far as Chris Beard, I know I'm asking you to put your, you know, your tinfoil hat on, or get your crystal ball out and try to predict the future. But, you know, that type of, you know, okay, Chris Beard's been at Ole Miss for 2 years. You know, he's been good off the court. We see it as no longer a risk. You know, if some big time school comes calling, you know, who could that potentially be? And then when do you think that could be?
I think you're looking at 3 years, man. Now, I would also say that I think Ole Miss is a significantly easier job than Texas, not because it's easier to get players, but because look at the league that you're in, man. The Big 12 this year, I think 7 tournament teams from the Big 12. There's only 10 teams in the league. I mean, literally everybody but Oklahoma, Oklahoma State, and Texas Tech went to the dance. Like, that, it was murderer's row. Like, it's just a top to bottom. It was, you know, in terms of the metrics, it was the best league in America this year. And I know Texas and Oklahoma are leaving, but look who's moving in: Houston, BYU, UCF. They've been to the tournament before. Cincinnati, proud program. Like, it, Big 12's tough. SEC is a football conference with some good basketball coaches, some good teams. Ole Miss is not the sleeping giant that Arkansas is for basketball. Like, Arkansas has been to back-to-back Elite Eights. Eric Musselman's a former NBA coach who has 2 top 5 picks on his roster this year in Nick Smith and Anthony Black. So, you know, Ole Miss is going to have their, they're going to have their window with Chris Beard. They're going to have a chance to make some tournament runs. Chris Beard is not a lifer in Oxford. I don't think anybody's under that impression. But I do think he's at a place where he's going to get paid well. He has a chance to win. And the bar is much lower than it is at a place like Texas, for obvious reasons, because Texas fans are crazy. Like, their expectations are, we're the most profitable athletic department in the country. We should win everything. And they're not wrong, but obviously Oxford is... it is what it is, man. People are just a lot more laid back. They're a lot more down to earth. I know they want to win. I'm not hating on your alma mater, Zach. I'm just saying, like, it's not Texas. It's not Alabama football. It's not Georgia football. It's not Arkansas basketball or Kentucky basketball, where people are crazy. It's different. But I do think that, you know, the expectation is obviously make tournaments, you know, compete for an SEC title. And based on who he can get on that roster over the next 6 months, there's no reason to think that that's unattainable. I mean, the NBA lottery as it stands currently, you know, I'm looking at half of the guys getting taken in the top 13 picks coming out of the SEC. Like, you go down the line, Brandon Miller at Alabama, Nick Smith at Arkansas, Anthony Black at Arkansas, the kid at South Carolina, G.G. Jackson, Kaysen Wallace at Kentucky. Like, that right there is six dudes in the top 12. Like, they're all in the SEC, and yet this isn't a basketball league? Like, it's crazy. So, I think things are changing. You know, this league, you know, not that long ago was getting, like, three teams in the dance. And, you know, Kentucky's down nationally. So I think it's pretty interesting where we're at right now. But, you know, credit to Ole Miss for taking this chance. I'm not saying that I agree with it. I'm not endorsing it. I'm saying on the court, it makes sense. You got the best basketball coach available. And you're a basketball program that is, you know, to put it politely, irrelevant. Not just in the SEC, but nationally. And that changed pretty quickly by hiring this guy. So now we just have to see not if he can win, but how long it takes to win.
All right, we're going to take the final break here. When we come back, we will talk brackets. We'll talk who we got upset-wise, Final Four run, and ultimately who we have standing under the confetti celebrating here in the next couple weeks. So hang tight. We'll be right back.
Podcast brought to you by Protection Unlimited Incorporated, the Mid-South's leader in commercial and residential alarm security. Wayne Lowry and his team have been serving the greater Memphis area and North Mississippi for 50 plus years and would love to get your business and or family protected today. They offer cutting edge security for your home or business with video surveillance options, and they're monitoring 24/7, 365. You can reach them via phone at 901-754-6510 or email them at info@protectionunlimited.com. Podcast also comes to you thanks to Bluff City Advisory Group, Memphis's leading team of finance professionals. They can provide advanced assistance with financial planning, pension and qualified plan support, and business and estate planning strategies. Former Ole Miss Rebel and founding partner Ben Still, along with his elite level customer service team, make it their goal to help you meet the ongoing demands of your financial needs. Learn more about them at BluffCityAdvisory.com. Podcast brought to you by the Berry Home Team. You're ready to sell and make the most net profit from your home. Call Stacy and Rick Berry today. They will lead you through the process from property assessment, repairs, staging, and putting that sold sign in your yard. Both have earned the multi-million dollar club member status, and they would love to assist you today in your real estate ventures. Call them 901-481-6420 or 901-461-6421. After you have talked to the Berry Home Team, you can talk to Saddle Creek Title, another proud sponsor of the show. They're the Mid-South's leader in client-focused, innovative closing solutions. Neil Hanna and his team are more than just a real estate closing firm. They are dedicated to going the distance to ensure the ease and growth of your real estate business. Find more information at saddlecreektitle.com or call them 901-753-1600. Show brought to you by Davis McCord State Farm. If you're looking for good neighbor service and surprisingly great insurance rates, look no further than Davis and his team. They are your one-stop shop in Alabama, Arkansas, Tennessee, and Mississippi for the service you deserve at the price you want. So stop looking around. Give Davis a call. He is ready to help. 901-755-6110. And get your surprisingly great rates today. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Here in Oxford, Mississippi, golf matters. For the Ole Miss Rebels, the casual looking to knock out a quick 18. Yes, we care about the fit when we hit the course, and PXG Apparel has something for everyone. Me? You Talk of Champions listeners know I'm a daily hat wearer, and especially at University Course or Oxford Country Club. PXG has mastered a snapback for any type of weather or occasion. My Navy goes with pretty much everything. Point is, PXG has you covered for any and all golf attire, making sure the fit is right in all the right places. Made with premium materials and technology designed for peak performance, these confidence-inspiring looks invite all-day play, taking you seamlessly from a round of golf to the office to a night on the square. Elevate your style game on and off the course with the PXG Spring Summer 2024 collection. Head over to pxg.com/TOC and use code TOC for Talk of Champions at checkout to save 10% on all apparel. That's pxg.com/TOC and use code TOC at checkout to save 10% on all apparel.
There isn't much better than spring turning to summer in Oxford, Mississippi. Double Decker, the Grove Bowl,
concerts at the Lyric in Vaught Hemingway Stadium, beer showers in right field at Swayze. And don't worry, Tecovas is here to make sure your fit is right as you're stepping out on the square during this festival-style season. Tecovas has seasonal and limited edition offerings this spring, including men's and women's boots, apparel, hats, bags, and more. It's hard to find this level of comfort paired with this level of style. Stop by your local Tecovas store today. Shop new styles with a complimentary drink on the house. Many Tecovas stores even have leather custom branding to make your boots truly personalized. There's just no in-store experience quite like it. And if you can't make it to a store, that's okay. Check out Tecovas.com. That's Tecovas.com. Tecovas offers free shipping on all boots, free returns and exchanges too. And they ship right to your door. Head over to Tecovas.com and find your new favorite pair of boots today.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage? Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
And we are back here, final segment. Zach Berry, Stephen Hartzell with you. All right. Real quick, I will say we did brackets with the kids last night, and I don't believe my three-year-old is going to get it done here on the men's tournament challenge. His final four, he's got Princeton, Marquette, Colgate, and UNC Asheville.
What were the guardrails here? Were you just naming the teams and he was just picking them, like whichever one he liked, he was just putting them in the next round?
Yeah, we did a mix of mascots and names.
Okay.
I think he got hung up on he likes saying Marquette, and then UNC Asheville was just all one word and just kind of blurted out. I think that's where we got. If we're doing some research here, I think he, for the most part, liked a lot of Tigers. And looking at who else he had deep, he liked saying Grand Canyon a lot. They made it to the Sweet 16.
Sure.
And then Oral Roberts was a big one. Once I said Oral Bob, he liked when I said Oral Bob. So he had them getting to the Sweet 16 as well. So, I don't think we're going to see 3-15 seeds in a 2 in Houston in April, but here we are.
I love it. We actually made a bracket. It's not complete. We're doing this in stages, but I'd never done this before and I wanted to, and my kids are on spring break and they're driving me crazy. We're here at the house. So we went to Office Depot and got a piece of poster board, and it had like these grid lines on it. They're faint, but it had squares. So I made the bracket, ruler, pencil. He's going to go through and fill it in with marker, and we're going to work on our handwriting, and then we are going to track the picks as the weeks progress. This is a new thing for us, so we've never done it before, but it looks pretty tight, not gonna lie. I'm very proud of how the bracket looks. We use the ruler. It's looking good, looking crisp. So
yeah, this is a multifaceted exercise. You're working on some penmanship, and then getting them into March Madness,
geography too. Like, we have relatives that live in Kansas. I expect that the Jayhawks will be advancing pretty far into in the West region. So yeah, look, man, we're trying. It's spring break. I can't drop these kids off at school. So we're getting creative. that and having them help in the yard. That's pretty much what we're doing this week. That's pretty much it.
All right. I'll be honest, I didn't have too many upsets. It wasn't super chalky, but I didn't get too crazy. I like Huggy Bear in West Virginia beating Maryland.
I do have Furman ousting Virginia in the first round. Outside of that, I mean, Utah State over Missouri, but that's a 7-10. That's not too crazy.
Utah State's actually favored in that game in Vegas, even though they're the 10.
Which is wild. Yeah, I mean, I got Oral Roberts beating Tennessee. But, yeah, I mean, for my final four, I've got 3-2s and a 1. And I've got a 1 seed winning it all. I got the Houston Cougars making history for the first time since 1972. Will be the last time a host team, quote unquote, won it all. That was back in when UCLA won it in LA. But I think Sasser's going to come back maybe second round. I don't think they need him for the first two, so maybe he comes back for the Sweet 16, and they just don't skip a beat. I got them beating UCLA, and then I got Arizona defeating Marquette on the other side.
Wow.
So, kind of chalky. It still blows my mind that all one seeds have only done it once back in 08. That still blows my mind that's the only time that's happened.
When is this podcast going to drop? Like, can I give out a first round lock that will have already happened? When is this show going to be released?
It'll be today. So we are recording this on Wednesday. It is currently 11:01 a.m. Central Time. So it'll be out today, later this afternoon.
All right, my first round upset of choice. A lot of people are taking Oral Roberts over Duke. It's a very popular play, which gives me cause for concern. I'm going to go with Providence over Kentucky, 11 over 6 in Greensboro. I saw Kentucky up close and personal in Nashville last week. Would not touch these guys with a 10-foot pole. They have some problems. And I will also give you, this is not one that I'm feeling overly confident about, but a little nostalgia here. I'm going Kennesaw State over Xavier, the Owls.
Whoa. Of
Kennesaw State, which is a place where my dad worked up until January, where he retired as the director of facilities. Guy can fix stuff, unlike his son. Unlike me. So Kennesaw State over Xavier. I think Greensboro is going to be the region of upsets there, not too far from where I'm sitting currently. So give me Kennesaw State over Xavier. Give me Providence over Kentucky. My final four, I am with you on the Cougs. I like Houston. I got UCLA. I'm having to do this off of memory. Was it Marquette? It might've been Marquette in the East. I don't like Purdue. Their guards are not great. Edie's great, but like they get matched up against like, you know, like Duke, Marquette at the bottom, even like the Memphis FAU winner, like any team with really good guards is going to kind of eat Purdue's shit. So we'll see, but I don't trust Purdue. And then I do like Alabama to come out of the South. I mean, they're just kind of rolling around and they have the best player in college basketball. Like,
yeah.
Again, separate the off the court stuff from the on the court, you know, which is what matters right now. Like Brandon Miller, he's not going to win the Naismith Award. He is the best player in the country. He's the best college basketball player in America. So I got Alabama, I got Marquette, I got UCLA, I got Houston. That's 2-1s and 2-2s. And I'm going UCLA, man. I think the Houston story would be cool. Jim Nance is obviously a Houston alum.
Yeah,
and he's calling his final four for CBS. Houston is hosting the tournament. Like, there's all these things. Like, part of me wants to just be lazy and pick Houston also, but I'm gonna stay with the trend of me picking teams from the West Coast, which for the last decade has been Gonzaga. I'm taking a break from Gonzaga this year. I'm gonna go with UCLA. I'll put you on the spot, Zach. How many UCLA basketball games have you seen this season? You're a sports fan. You're a dad. You have a life. But you enjoy watching sports. Like, how many UCLA basketball games, partial or full, have you watched this year?
I think 3.
Okay. These dudes, first of all, they got Tiger Campbell, point guard, amazing dreadlocks. Like, thick.
Was a Nashville guy for a hot minute. I actually saw him play, quote, in high school. He was an eighth grader on the varsity team at CPA here in Nashville.
Love it.
Yeah.
Him, Jaime Jaquez, dude is tough. Headband, got the goatee thing going on.
Yeah.
Like these guys are just, they're just tough, man. And they're old. So I think it's going to be UCLA and Alabama for the Natty. And I'm going with the Bruins. So give me UCLA to cut down the nets in Houston. That's my pick.
My pause with Bama. And I do agree with you. Brandon Miller is the best player in the country. This is kind of like a Kanye West exercise where you separate the art from the artist kind of thing. He's a very good basketball player. I do think he is the best. I mean, he has turned Alabama into the number one overall seed. They were not the number one overall seed without him. I just think that because of their reliance on the three,
yep,
they run the risk of having a cold night. And sure. I have them losing to the Techs. I have them losing to San Diego State. I just think they're going to have a night where they go like 8 for 41 and they just can't get it done. So
very
I think
possible.
I think it ends in the Sweet 16. But it's hard to argue with them getting to the Final Four and getting to the national championship because they're just, Nate Oates is a phenomenal coach. Brandon Miller is the best player in the country. Yeah, I like the UCLA pick. Mick Cronin has just quietly built a monster out there. They're deep. You mentioned how they're old. They're very experienced. Another team that I don't have them going particularly deep, but if you're looking for maybe a flyer on somebody that could potentially get hot, make some noise in terms of experience and being old, I like Memphis. Entire starting five, all seniors, Kendrick Davis and, can never remember his first name, but Williams. That's quite the 1-2 punch there. I think that they have the length and the athleticism to give Purdue fits. If they get past FAU, I think they could give Purdue some issues. You mentioned they're a little susceptible to elite guard play. Memphis
Their guard, Zach, would be like I know they're better than this, but it looks like if me and you were running the point for Purdue. Like, that's what Purdue's trotting out there at the guard spot. And, you know, no disrespect to those guys. They're on scholarship, too. But, like, come on, man. You match those guys up against Memphis?
Yeah.
And it's a problem. So I don't hate that. I've got one, too, in the round of 32. If Arkansas gets past Illinois and you've got Kansas-Arkansas in the round of 32, watch out. I don't know if that goes well for Kansas, the reigning national champs. I actually have them as my first number one going out. So
yeah, I watched quite a bit of Kansas this year, and I know they have the Big 12 Player of the Year. Grady Dick can really shoot it. I just never really came away just floored by them. I was never like leaning back in my chair like, damn, that's a one seed,
right?
And then you have the question mark with Bill Self, like his health, like. It, you know, is he going to be able to give it everything he's got? You know, maybe they make us all look foolish and they run through Arkansas no problem. Also, speaking of that, talking about the West, I got UConn upsetting Kansas in the Sweet 16. So I like UConn a lot. I don't know if it's trendy, but if we're giving out locks, I'm going to go out on a limb here. I'm going a 13-4 upset. I'm taking the Golden Flashes over Indiana.
I've seen that. We interviewed the Kent State head coach, Rod Senderoff, on College Sports Now, and he's a good dude. He loves Pearl Jam. And, I mean, he took time to spend, you know, 15, 20 minutes talking with me and Norlander. So, I mean, I think that's like the last game on the board. Thursday or Friday night, like it's the late game. So,
yeah,
you know, by then things are a little hazy. I have a hard time staying up past 10 Eastern on most nights. I'm going to try for the tournament. I'm going to try, but it's tough, dude. Like it's just central time zone guys. Y'all got it easy, man. With these late games,
as people say, it's God's time.
It's just a built-in advantage. Like you don't realize how crucial that hour is, but man, a game starting at 8 instead of 9. That's a game changer.
Eastern time zone is by far the worst for sports.
It's tough, dude. It's tough. I'm telling you.
Man, I living in New York, and I would do my very best the old college try for Pac-12 After Dark, and it never failed. Every Saturday, I would fall asleep on the couch in like the second quarter and would wake up and the game would be over.
Yeah. I get it.
For me, there are a lot of factors that go into winning tournament games. I typically lean towards rebounding and free throws. Indiana's bad at both. second chance opportunities, they don't get a lot of them. They're toward the bottom in both offensive rebound rate and free throw rate. And I mean, this is a team that got blown out by Iowa, and they're not good away from Assembly Hall. They were 5-7 on the road. And look, a Kent State team, Sincere Carey is one of the better scorers in this tournament. I think that even with Indiana shooting the ball well, they just found ways to lose. I was looking at some numbers here. They lost 6 of 9 games when shooting just under 45% from the field. So I know that Trace Jackson Davis is one of the guys up for player of the year. And we're kind of talking out of both sides of our mouth here, because we talked about how one guy can get you there, but I just don't know if he can do it all by himself. And if I'm going to go out on a limb and pick one upset in the first round, that's the one I'm going for. I like the Golden Flashes there. But as far as anybody else that's trendy in like the 5-7 seed range, do you anticipate anyone making a run deep in this tournament?
I am not emotionally invested in anybody playing basketball in this event. So let me just say that up front. I used to feel so much differently about this event when I was in college, way back when. And I was like, I cared about Georgia Tech, or I cared about Florida. You know, like, my dad went to Florida. I grew up in a Gators household. So, like, by the way, can you hear my rooster? He's like right outside the window. Can you hear that?
I just heard a little bit. Yeah.
He's making his presence felt here. But yeah, like I used to love watching this as a youth. Like, even when I was in high school, like, I was the guy who ran the pool. Like, I would go to Kinko's, I'd print the bracket. I'd, you know, $5 an entry. I'd get a couple teachers in on it. And like, that was my thing, man. Like, before the internet, you know, like, I mean, I'm 39. Like, I've lived the life of, like, you know, cutting out the bracket from the newspaper. Like, that's a very real thing for a lot of us. Yeah. Or getting the blank bracket in the Sports Illustrated the week before the tournament so you could fill it out along with Greg Gumbel on the selection show. Like, that's a real thing for a lot of people. Now, everybody's got their own PDF. So I am not emotionally invested in any of these teams. If we want to have chaos, like, I'm okay with it. I do not mind. I'll fill out one bracket. I'll pin it at the top of my Twitter page just so people can, like, make fun of me. But, like, if you want to have, like, a 12 seed make the Sweet 16 or the Elite 8, great. I'm cool with it. You asked a question, 5-7 range. Duke is a 5 seed. I think they've won 9 in a row. They're the reigning they just won the ACC tournament. Like, they're playing their best basketball. Everybody's got them losing to Oral Roberts. Watch out for Duke. I think that's a problem.
Probably one of the hotter teams right now.
Yeah. UConn's a 4. They're dangerous. I think St. Mary's is a 5. If the seeding held up, those two teams would play each other in the round of 32. But St. Mary's and or UConn could get hot here. St. Mary's does it a little differently. They play defense. They kind of grind you out. I liked Miami a lot this year. And then they've kind of wobbled a little bit down the stretch. They're a 5 seed. It's such a crapshoot. I mean, the person who wins the NCAA tournament pool is usually, you know, somebody's secretary who's just like, I'll fill out a bracket, sure. And it's the hardos who stay up and watch Mountain West games who end up finishing in like last place. You picked San Diego State to knock off, who'd you say, Alabama in the round of us in the Sweet 16? Like, Aztecs are a dangerous team. Like, those guys are physical. They play defense. It's just, like, what are you rooting for when you watch basketball? For me, like, if Alabama wants to hang 95 on everybody, I'm good with that. But, like, if you're the guy out there who's rooting for, like, Tony Bennett's, you know, pack line defense to hold teams to, like, under 40, like, you know, hey, more power to you, man. Defense travels. Like, I get it. So San Diego State, they're fun. I'm going to ride with UCLA because as an East Coast guy, nobody's been watching their games. They're about as under the radar as you can be for a two seed. And
yeah,
why not, man? Like let's have some fun. I'm going to ride with Mick Cronin and them boys. That's my pick. I'm sticking with it.
I think probably the two sixes that I really like, Creighton and TCU. I got TCU getting to the Sweet 16, ultimately losing to UCLA, but I like them beating Gonzaga and then giving UCLA all they can handle. I liked what I saw from the Horned Frogs this year. They just play really hard. Tough nose. The guard play is pretty good. And then Creighton, I think that's a pretty trendy pick by a lot of people. I like them to get by Baylor. And then kind of similar to what I said with TCU going against UCLA, I think they're going to give Arizona a scare in the Sweet 16 there. But yeah, I mean, outside of those two, I got Iowa State going pretty deep, ultimately losing to Texas. That's probably one of the better stories and kind of bringing it full circle here as we talked a lot of Chris Beard. Rodney Terry and what he's done at that Texas program is pretty remarkable, and I think he deserves the job. And I think they end up running into a Houston team that is just seems destined for the Final Four. But, man, that would be cool if he was able to get to the Final Four, you know, as an interim guy. And I think he's already done enough to earn the full-time gig. I know Texas people want to go big game hunting, and, you know, you mentioned John Calipari, and you said his name earlier. I know some people want to try to get Billy Donovan. You know, Texas is you know, they have that air about them where, like, we can get whoever we want. We're Texas. So I don't know if they're going to even come close to getting somebody like John Calipari or Billy Donovan. I think Roddy Terry's done enough to earn that gig. And I think that would, you know, I'm like you. I don't have any emotional ties to anyone. That would be cool for me to see Rodney Terry and what he did with that roster was just a, you know, a mix of blue chip freshmen and portal guys that Chris Beard had brought in, where that's two different groups of players that are on very different, you know, wavelengths. And he was able to keep everybody in check. And I mean, they damn near won the Big 12, and then, man, they blew out Kansas in the conference title game. So they're playing as good as anyone right now. I think it's going to be it's always fun, but this is a very interesting bracket this year because I do think the ones and the twos are very, very capable of getting to the Final Four without much issue. But man, there are some fun twos to sixes that could really make things interesting.
There's no elite team, man. That's the thing. Like, there's some very good teams. Like, Alabama's best is better than most teams' best, you know. But yeah, if they have that night where they miss 35 three-pointers, they're gonna lose. You know, even Houston and Kansas and Purdue and, you know, Marquette, Zona's a fun team, man. If you haven't watched Zona play, they these two dudes, Tubelis and Balo. They're both 7 feet tall, and both of them are on the floor at the same time. Like, they have something that nobody else has. You know, Zach Edey is a monster at Purdue, but there's only one Zach Edey. Arizona's got these 2 7-footers that they play at the same time. And then they got this guy running around with a headband named Kerr Creasa, who he's just, you know, as an Ole Miss guy, he's not Marshall Henderson. He doesn't have that level of swag, but, like, he is fearless, and he talks trash, and he looks amazing. Like, the headband, you know, just he's just breaking people off. Like, Arizona is a sexy team. Like, they are a lot of fun. They score, don't play a lot of defense. Tommy Lloyd was a longtime Gonzaga assistant, comes from the same mold of, like, hey, man, we'll just hang 85 on you. But again, you go to some of these NBA venues, like, you know, there's a regional final at Madison Square Garden. Vegas is hosting a final. Kansas City, I think the other one is at the KFC Yum Center. But, like, you go to a place with tight rims and, like, you know, shots aren't falling. Like, you're going to have to play defense. And
yeah,
very few of these teams hang their hat on that side of the ball. So it's going to be fun. It is one of my favorite sporting events of the calendar. Probably right for up sure. there with like the Masters for me, or like any major golf tournament. And then
waste management.
Not the waste management. No, that ain't for me. But like,
have you ever been?
I have never been. And honest okay. to God, man, I don't know if I want to go. Like, I like golf, and I like to have, you know, cold beverages, but the amount of like overconsumption there, like I don't, and people like golf is already a tough spectator sport, unless it's a venue that like TPC Sawgrass, like I've been to the Players before. It's an incredible venue for spectators because of the way the course is constructed, you know, like the crowds at Waste Management, unless I was just living the life where it was hospitality passes and skybox suites, that's different.
Yeah.
But I don't have that life, Zach. And I don't, you know, like, so in lieu of that, golf majors, March Madness, obviously the World Cup this year was phenomenal, but God, it being on in November and December was just such,
it was weird.
Such a drain for me because it's the busiest time of the year for guys who work in college sports. And it was tough. It was tough to really immerse myself in, you know, this other thing that was going on,
right.
like while college football games are being played, while college basketball is starting, while the NFL playoffs are going on. Like, it was just way too much.
Yeah.
That for me, March Madness is as good as it gets. I have fond memories of when we used to do this as a undergrad at JMU. And I always harken back to those times, simpler times, man, way, way simpler times than now. Cause I'll be chasing kids around. I'll probably listen to more of the tournament on like Westwood One Varsity Network app than I will watching it, because if the weather's nice, like I'm not going to spend 12 hours inside. Like I can't spend that long of the day indoors with my kids. Like they will kill each other, or they will make me and their mother so irate with misbehavior that like, I can't do it. So I'll grab the Bluetooth speaker, and shout out to anybody out there who's listening. We have this app at Learfield. It's called the Varsity Network. And for the first time ever, we are allowed to stream. You could never do this before. We are allowed to stream the individual school broadcasts of the NCAA tournament. So if you are an Arkansas fan and you want to listen to Chuck Barrett and Matt Zimmerman call the Hogs in the NCAA tournament, you can actually listen to that on the app for the first time ever. So check that out. It's free, Varsity Network app. You know, you're an Ole Miss guy. So David Kellum, DK, one of the nicest dudes in the world, just an absolute sweetheart of a man and a heck of a broadcaster.
Yeah.
Obviously they are not participating in the NCAA tournament, but if you want to listen to Ole Miss baseball this weekend, pull up the Varsity Network, man. DK's got you. It's great stuff.
Yeah, I was going to say, plug that also for football. I mean, I told people about it this past season. I mean, it's like Red Zone Radio.
Oh, the Blitz. The Blitz is the best thing we do. Yeah, the Blitz
going
is awesome.
All over the place. You get to hear every call from every radio network. It's awesome. If you're out running, you know, some honey-do list, or you're out running errands on a Saturday, but you know, while games are going on, they got you covered.
Yeah, XM84 carries the first half of it, but obviously XM is a subscription service. Yeah, Varsity Network, it's starting to pick up traction, man. Like I hope we can get bigger than it already has, because you know, people think it's the coolest thing in the world, and it's like, yeah, well, we've been doing it for 10 years. Like you just now found it. We've been doing it for a while.
Welcome.
So yeah, Red Zone Radio for college. That's exactly what it is. The Blitz. I can't, you know. Football season is great when it's here. I don't know about you, Zach, but like I need some time away when it's over. It's nice to, people are so uptight. People are so on edge during football season that, and I'm not talking about like guys like me. It's more like people in the industry, like the grind, one game a week, like coaches, SIDs, administrators, everybody's just so tight. And then when football ends, people just relax. Like people just kind of get to exhale. So yeah. I enjoy my off seasons. Although, I mean, shoot, hopefully I'll hit you up again here. When we come up to Nashville for SEC Media Days, you guys are hosting it for the first time. So that should be something. Maybe you can give me some tips on questions to ask Lane Kiffin, because, man, that is, we're veering off topic here, but that is the toughest, that is the toughest interview I have the whole week.
Yeah, he
just doesn't want to play ball, man. He just, and I'm not here to talk about like come to the sip. Like, I'm talking about like the roster. Like, talk to me about your running back room. Like, you got to be really excited to be getting Zach Evans. Like, you, like, just all kinds of stuff that's like football related, like actual football questions. I don't care about the portal. I don't care about offseason stuff. Talk to me about your new coordinators. Talk to me about your new quarterbacks. And he just, dude, every answer is like 6 seconds long.
Yeah.
So clearly it's me. I got to be better. I don't know.
Well, no, it's he treats everybody like that. I'll give you a quick tip before we go. Lane Kiffin loves the big picture stuff. He's all about looking at, you know, down the road. He's all about, you know, he doesn't want to look in the rear view. He's trying to, you know, hit the touch screen and swipe a bunch to look down the road on the map. Like, he's all about the big picture stuff. Like, that's the type of questions that he likes. And I'll do some more research for you before media days. And, you know, maybe the trick is to ask him about his dogs now. He's got two. So maybe there's an angle there for you.
Anything will be better. Like, I could send you the raw audio file from the last couple years. And we get 10 minutes with every coach. We're on the car wash. It's not like I'm stopping him in the hallway. Like, it's, we're right there, you know, SEC Radio Network. Come on into the room. It's just me and you. 10 minutes. Every coach, every student athlete. We get everybody. And Lane is like, puts on the headset and he's looking at me and there's just nothing there. Like, he just wants to get out. He wants to hit the eject button before he even sits down. So I got to work on that this year, and I need to learn from experience. Like, instead of the one page of questions that I have for everybody, all typed up, all nice and neat, like, I need to just have two pages with that guy, because he's just not going to play ball. So yeah, we can huddle up before July. We can have that discussion offline. Very good.
All right, Stephen Hartzell, he's got UCLA winning it all. I've got Houston. My man, this has been a long time coming. It was fun. I appreciate you carving some time out. I know we're both at home with kids on spring break, so I'll let you get back to it. But yeah, we'll do this again. We'll definitely catch up at least maybe once before media days. If not, we'll catch up after to recap how things were in Nashville.
Let's tee it up. I'm excited. I've never played golf in Nashville, so maybe we can make that happen.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, once this, you know, in the middle of a cold snap right now, it's 43. It was 30 this morning. So once that'll be cleared out by the time media days gets here. So I'm ready.
We'll
get out there and we'll do it up. So that's gonna do it for another edition of Daytime Fireworks. We're kind of working in some. We're gonna do some more of these. We're gonna do some more of the not committeds. We'll get some more on the podcast network for you. Stay locked in at the site, omspirit.com, part of On Three. We've got, you know, basically wall-to-wall coverage of Chris Beard. Recruiting has not slowed down. It's actually picked up since he was hired on Monday. So we've got all of that, transfer portal news, and more. For Steven over there, I'm Zach. Thank y'all for listening. Thank you to the sponsors that make it possible. Until next time, we out.
Looks like you need a vacation. Enter the 5-Hour Energy Where Will the Tide Take You sweepstakes. You could win a $10,000 dream beach vacation. Imagine jet setting off to a tropical paradise, having fun in the sun, or diving at a gorgeous reef. It's up to you. No purchase necessary. Go to 5hetide.com for official rules and to enter. That's 5hetide.com. Enter today. Ends June 30th, 2024.
If you own a vehicle with less than 200,000 miles and have an auto warranty about to expire or no warranty coverage at all, listen up. CarShield has a low-cost, month-to-month vehicle protection plan that covers more parts than ever. Visit carshield.com/audio to find out how you could pay almost nothing for covered auto repairs. Drivers who activate this vehicle protection today will also receive free roadside assistance, free towing, and car rental options at no additional cost. Get your free quote today at carshield.com/audio. That's carshield.com/audio.